And welcome to The Shadow of Love. I am your co-host, Holly. I am a writer and intimacy coach, all lover of things, all television and film and great white sharks. And I'm here with my co-host, Ernest.
Hey, hey, I am Ernest. I am proud to be the co-host of the show. How are you doing, Dr. Holly?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I am a mixologist, a bartender, a Southern cuisine chef, a restaurant manager, hotel manager, and a lover of all things old and soul, and a diehard Stevie Wonder fan.
What's your favorite Stevie Wonder song?
Oh, that's easy. As.
Ooh.
Since I was a little kid, my favorite song. It's real complex. It's everything. As and In a Sentimental Mood are the last two songs I want to hear before I die.
That's a good list.
But yeah. Those are my two. Like if I was to die today, those are the two songs I'd want to hear. But I want to hear As for last. Like I want to fade out. I want the curtain to fall to that. You know what I mean? So yeah, definitely As.
Well, that's a beautiful image, but you're not going to die today.
Yeah, not if I can help it.
But we are going to talk about red flags in relationships and kind of the warning signs that people should be aware of so that they don't potentially find themselves sucked into negative situations. Do you have a time that you can think about where you were in a relationship where you kind of missed those flags or just didn't see something coming?
All the time. Yeah. You know why? Because I lead with what I tend to do when I was younger, and I finally got this a few years back. What I thought was like when I look at a woman, like when she had fire in her eyes, I realized now that was crazy. You know what I mean? Like, oh, she got passion for life. Like, nah, this chick knows how to throw a brick through a window. You know, like I have had times where I thought that, well, maybe, you know, she just likes to drink like this, you know, on the weekends. But like, nah, this chick is like, she's doing St. Patty's Day every day, or, you know, like Friday through Sunday is St. Patrick's Day. I've had those kind of instances. I've had the crazy. I'm gonna stop saying crazy so much, but in certain instances, it's just fucking true. Where I didn't know. When people show up at your house unannounced and you let it go, and then the next thing you know, you look out the window at night and you see them sitting out there in their car. I've had those kind of red flags. I've had, oh man.
That's not just a red flag. That's like a lit up warning sign.
<That's>
you need to run, find a new place to live.
that's a strobe light. You know, I used to be so optimistic, you know, and I used to let some stuff go until it, you know, it caught me. Another warning sign is, you know, I'm not going to say names, but if you're having sex with somebody and they're on their back and you can see a dude's name tattooed the whole way across the top of their ass. True story. And they turn around and look at you and say, you know, in the middle of throes of sex, they turn around, look at you and say, I can explain that, you know, like, no, I'm going to have roses put all over it. So it doesn't look like, you know, like a name. I'm like, it's just going to look like a rosy ass name. Like, ooh, true story. Now's not the time to explain. You know, you could have started with, hey, we're getting kind of hot and heavy. There's something I need to tell you, you know, and just lead with the tattoo. Just say, hey, I gotta, I, I was with this guy and it was serious, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, my dumb ass went out and got his whole name tattooed across my ass. So I need to know if you're with that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah, that's, I have so many stories. And I guess that's what we're here for.
Right. So what would be, if you had to pick like your top three red flags, what would you say are the things for you that kind of scream like, hell no, not going there?
Red flag number one depends on what part of the country you're from.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, yeah, like that's, I'm not going to say anywhere in particular. I'll make up an imaginary place, like, well, let's call it Las Vegas. If you're from Vegas, if you're, you know, or another place, I'm not going to say any more names, but yeah. Depending what part of the country you're from, depending on, crazy baby daddies, like that's a real thing that can get dangerous and out of hand real. I mean, I'm being serious about that. That can get dangerous real fast. And a woman who like audits her truth, you know what I mean? Like, like I said, a woman that said like, well, I could explain that. Or I have to tell you about vagaries, vague women. I'm a, you know, people who are vague. I have found that I should have used more caution before I invested. My dumb ass, I was just like, well, you know, you're cute, your ass is round, you know.
But when you're younger, it almost seems mysterious, right? And it kind of draws you in a little bit because it's like, ooh, it's this person. And they kind of won't tell me everything. Maybe there's some kind of trick to getting in the door, you know, and it just seems kind of sexy. And then you get in the door and you realize like the house is a fucking mess. Nobody's been there for years. The cat's running wild. The litter's overflowing. Like it's just no one should be living there.
Yeah. You know, that actually happened to me. That really did actually happen to me. Like, how are you living? Like, it's a true story. It's a true story. I was out, you know, like, I don't really, when I was, you know, being in my single days, I stopped being so impulsive. I stopped trying to do the one night thing. I would try to qualify a woman first. You know what I mean? You know, meet her, talk to her, whatever. But I have gone to some messy fucking cribs. I have gone I've gone into some real dumps. I'm sorry for laughing, but I've walked into some, like, how are you this put together? And, you know, it looks like it, oof, like those places where like the police come and they're like pulling cats and, you know, that kind of shit. Yeah, I've walked into some real dumps. And now's not the time, at like three in the morning is not the time to start cleaning up. Now's not the time. You know, 6 months ago was like, bitch, you need to travel back in time, straighten the shit out. But yeah. And I've had, and you know what? I'm gonna quit. I'm gonna let you go because I know you have some just as good as mine.
I think for me, red flags, you know, I'm with you on the vague true thing. I think that's probably my top one, just because I found that one can really spiral out into just like a whole bunch of weird shit, right? Like you get yourself invested and then like you find out more and you try to give people the benefit of the doubt, but it just vague truthing doesn't work for me. Like I really prefer people to be more direct. For me, a major red flag is if someone has questionable friends. I think that who you spend your time with in your personal life is kind of important, and having dependable people, people that align with your values, people that aren't going to take you down into their own kind of drama or craziness is pretty important, especially when you're trying to enter a relationship. Because if that shit conflicts, you know, with who you want to be or who you're striving to be, particularly in a relationship, it just ends up being a lot of conflict. And I think to be real, I think a red flag for me is substance abuse, you know, and I've kind of lived with that personally. And I'm not saying it's a deal breaker by any means. I think that you just, you know, and I don't know that all red flags are deal breakers, but I do think that you have to exercise caution and make sure you're kind of taking care of yourself in that process for sure. But everybody comes with their own baggage and trauma and a whole bunch of shit that they carry in and just dump on the floor. And then they're like, blah, here's this, you know? Make with it what you will. So, I mean, none of us are, I think, exempt from deserving of love or compassion. You know, it's about finding that right fit of crazy maybe that complements yours rather than like takes you further into it.
Yeah. You know, I think my whole life, Holly, I've just been looking for that special kind of crazy, you know, the crazy that I could call my own. I have had all, and I'm not, you know what? I'm not dumping on anybody, but ooh, I have had a crazy parade. You know what I mean? Like, there goes another one, you know? Mama, the crazy's in town. can we get tickets? Not until you do your homework. Oh, shucks. So really, I think you're right, because everybody is a little bit, once you get to, it's not even about being older or younger. Everybody's got their stuff. So I think that I have looked past crazy because I was in love or deep light. I was in some kind of thing with an L, you know, love or lust, maybe in like a deep, deep infatuation, or maybe that she was just, you know, real pretty. And I liked how I just liked how she looked, you know, and I looked past some stuff. But yeah, just low self-esteem is a red flag for me. Because you have to spend a lot of time, especially if you start to get serious or involved, you have to spend a lot of time being that person's cheerleader, or you have to put a lot of energy into, like, you know, hey, you're great. It's just the world that doesn't understand you. And you got to shake the pom-poms and do all that stuff just to motivate them. And it's fine if you really care, but it's a lot.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you don't know that they're like that, you know, a lot of times, like you said, it's like how Justin said the 90 days period. I think I'm gonna start doing that, because it gives you enough time to really see enough to say if you want to buy it or not.
Right.
It's like Rent-A-Center.
Right. We discussed that in another show where you give people like a 90-day probationary period. And then if you can't make it through that, you out.
I think that's really the next thing for me. But yeah, like low self-esteem, I can see substance abuse issues, because I have dated a few women with some of those issues. And it was hard. You know, it's embarrassing when you got to carry somebody over your shoulder out of a bar, like a sack of potatoes with heels on. It's real. Right. Yeah, it's not fun. So that, I don't think I'll ever do that again.
No, that's hard. And with substance abuse, I think if you're in a position where that person isn't sober and there's an instance, you're the one left with the memories of what it's like when they weren't sober, but oftentimes they don't remember. And so they can't kind of really do a self-reflection on what they did because they just don't know. But you know, because you were there and you get to live with that moving forward. And I think that those are kind of hard things. You know, I think if, and again, this is not to say that, you know, you can't be in a relationship or love someone with substance abuse, but I think everybody has to do the work, you know, and it especially has to be the person who is kind of struggling in that vein. It's up to them to really do that work and make sure they're keeping themselves where they need to be, you know?
Oh yeah. You know, admittedly, I can, on occasion I can speak fluent Russian. So I've been down that, excuse me, son, is that the train to Sauceville? So yeah, you know, I've been there too. So I've had my own share of, you know, admittedly red, you know, I've had my red flags too. So I'm empathetic, but I'm more cautious now. I think, you know, for my profession, it'll make you cynical a little bit. It'll make you cynical and vain at the same time. And you kind of get to see, you get to see people's red flags. You know, oh, affairs. If you're dating somebody and if you're having an affair with somebody, that's a red flag.
Yeah, that's no good.
You know, because trust is always going to be an issue.
Right.
It's always going to be an issue. It doesn't matter how you met, how, you know, when you met. And it's happened, you know, I've seen it happen in the past to folk, you know, like how are you going to, it's like when you're having an affair and it starts to get serious and you guys commit, like, well, how did you guys meet? Well, I was married and he was too, but we just, you know, but we knew it was love or whatever, you know, whatever. So yeah, affairs are red flags.
It's kind of rare. I had a professor in college. Well, two professors, they worked together and they were married and are still married. So this was like 20 some years ago, but they had been an affair. Like they had both been married and had an affair with each other. And then they got married and they have one of the best marriages that I've ever seen in my lifetime. And so I wouldn't want to date someone under those circumstances being the other person necessarily, but I always found that interesting because they both were in relationships that weren't working and then found each other and that worked. So,
yeah. So yeah, that's like, I'm not, first off, kids, don't try any of this at home.
All right.
We are not.
This is our warning label.
Yes, we are not professionals. We are just two crazy kids just trying to make it through the world and figure out the stuff along the way.
Right.
So, yeah. Because, you know, I've been in the game for a long time. So I never thought that relationships that I started under dubious circumstances, none of them ever worked out. And I'm not going to say it was karma, but they didn't work because I'm like, yo, I don't think I can trust you.
Right.
So, yeah, I dated a woman years ago and I'm not going to call it dating. We were intimate a lot and spent a lot of time on the low, just chilling. And I liked her, pretty woman, pretty to this day. And she was engaged to this guy and she asked me, you know, we're at my apartment and she asked me, she was like, if I leave him for you, you know, will you have me? And I was like, nah, just flat out. Like I didn't have to think about it. I didn't have to debate it. And literally like, and this was like in the, you know, back in the day, I was like, nah, just real, like hit it with a real hard, nah. And she was like, why? I was like, well, you know, I don't trust you. You know, she was like, why? I'm like, because you're engaged to somebody. Like, it's, you're way past, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend. Like, y'all picking, like, you know, arrangements. You have a, you know, a list. And, you know, no, why would I do that? You know, you're going to be some other dude. You're going to be some other dude's problem shortly. And she wasn't even my problem at the time. It was just, you know, we enjoyed having no stolen moments, but I wasn't getting that serious. And she invited me to the wedding.
Get out.
I bullshit you not. I bullshit you not. She sent me an invitation to the wedding. And I almost went because I was going to give a toast. I was going to give an ignorant ass toast. You know what I mean? Like, but before we sit down, like, excuse me. I would just, I just like to get a toast to the groom, because the last time I saw your wife's naked body, I knew you're a lucky man to love.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mazel tov. So yeah, I didn't mean to go on, but you know, just like, you know, shady dealings don't make for a good, I'm not going to say they don't, like you said before, shady dealings don't always lead to happy endings, you know, at least not in my case.
Right. Same here. Have you ever been in a situation where the flags weren't obvious, but then they popped up later? So like I had a guy I was dating briefly. We met on Tinder. He seemed super cool. And we went out a couple times. And for those of you who don't know me, I'm a pretty fierce feminist person. And we were having a conversation. We're like about 3 or 4 dates in. And he starts telling me about how he believes in this society that advocates for women receiving less pay because they are genetically engineered to perform differently at certain jobs compared to men. And this is a real thing. I can't remember what the name of this particular misogynistic group was, but he wholeheartedly.
Oh, I know the name of the group. Men. M-E-N. Men.
I sat there and like stared at him because I mean, I generally kind of throw those cards on the table right away because that's just such a part of who I am. And I just couldn't believe that this shit like came out of his mouth while we were on a date together. And I was just like, oh, well, that's that. Because, you know, like you would never accept if I had a job that paid more than you, probably. You would never be able to handle probably if I had any kind of, you know, greater success in that vein. And it was just wild. I just couldn't believe in, you know, this century that there's people that would really wholeheartedly at a younger non-boomer age actually buy into that kind of misogynistic stuff. And I'm sure there's plenty of them. I just haven't met them because I avoid them like the plague, but
dinosaurs still roam the earth. I'm telling you right now. Here's the thing. There's always, I've been with women that were, you know, wildly successful. I'm not threatened of that kind of stuff. Most men, to be honest with you, a lot of men are threatened of that kind of stuff. And it's unfortunate because they miss out on some good people and, you know, maybe the possibility of like having some wonderful experiences with people because of that. And that goes back. Men, just again, the name of the group is M-E-N. And we can be terrible, you know, and it's true. you know, especially like when you live in a city, when you live in a major metropolitan area, you're going to meet women who are, you know, solid. And it threatens men a lot that their potential partner could, you know, be financially ahead of them in life or whatever. But I heard years ago, this was years ago when I was at the Crawford Grill years ago, it was a bunch of old dudes sitting around the bar, and it was a circular bar. And they were having the same conversation about how they can't date or marry a woman that made more money than them. And one of the guys who was a very popular dentist, I think he's still alive in Pittsburgh, he said, well, y'all dumb as hell. He was like, if she makes $75,000 and you make $50,000, when you come home, there's $125,000 there. You know, and the guys just weren't threatened of that. So I ended up, and this is true, I ended up dating a lot of professional women more often than not, because one, they're really available. So yeah, I've never been threatened. I mean, I like it. I really do. I mean, there can be some things that go along with that too. There's challenges in every relationship, but most men, I hate to give up the secret life Penn and Teller, but that's most men. This is some Penn and Teller shit. Like, most men do not want to have a woman in their life that makes more money than them or is more successful. They just don't. If they're not comfortable with themselves, then they can't. They just can't. They won't do it. They're not going to get in that bag.
That goes back to kind of that self-esteem type issue. And how much do you think your childhood and watching whatever dynamics you had of relationships in your family play a role in how you later interpreted relationships? Because I know, speaking for myself, like, I have, you know, definitely a history of trauma, and most of the relationships that were kind of in my immediate picture involved substance abuse or involved relationships where it was a mutual kind of agreement, even if it wasn't a passionate kind of love. Was more like mutually beneficial, I guess would be the right way. But often, like, a lot of them still had like red flags all over the place. But I don't know if it's generational, that people just didn't have the resources and the ability to be able to leave those things. I know women didn't, right? We just didn't have those kind of options. And how that, like, and I've thought a lot about how that's impacted my ability to kind of, it took me a really long time, probably at least 30 years of my life, to have an idea of what lens I saw things through because of the ones I had been presented that had been presented to me as a kid versus the one I had to develop for myself finally, you know, and to be able to function and feel like I was able to really take a good hard look at relationships in an honest format. What do you feel that's contributed for you?
To be honest with you, damn, that's a good question. That's a really good question. To be honest with you, coming from a big family, you get to see I've done all the things that old school dudes have done. You know, as far as relationships, like being, you know, when I was younger, I was never really faithful to anybody because that's just how I thought you were supposed to be, because that's how a lot of the people around me were. Like, you're not really going to be bogged down to one woman, even if you were married, you know, like Friday night is for your wife and Saturday night might be for your girlfriend or vice versa. You pick the days, it depends on the schedule. So I grew up with that. I grew up with, you know, I got a woman on the other side of town, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, really, it's archaic. And it took me a long time. I'm just being honest with you. it took me a long time up until like my last, you know, like marriage, the relationship before that, and in between, to knock some of that, to just stop it, to like, it's not necessarily an ego thing, I think, with men. I mean, partially it is. Partially, so let me stop. Some of it is ego, but going back, I grew up around folk, and I was taught, and I saw that you didn't have to be loyal to your spouse because it doesn't matter. I can't say it didn't matter, but it was like, here's my paycheck, I'm going out. That kind of thing. You know, there's money, there's food, there's clothing, there's shelter, I'm going to the bar. And when I'm at the bar, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And this is just how men that I grew up with showed me how to behave. And it took me a long time. It was like rehab. It took me a long time to like rewire myself. And it's not to say that I'm noble. I'm not saying that I'm noble or right. I'm just saying it took me a long time to like realize that the behavior was more ego driven and it devalued women in a way because it reduced, ooh, if I say this, it's gonna upset me a little bit. It reduces their humanity in a way, like their value is solely for like pleasure and not, you know, purposeful relationships or whatever. I just grew up around dudes who just didn't value women. And it took me a real long time to stop it. And anyone who knows me from my past knew how I was. You know, I was an egotistical bastard. And it took me, and I regret a lot of stuff that I, you know what I mean? That kind of stuff. But that's just how men are of that generation. And I don't think that it'll change. I mean, some things will improve, but I don't think the basic behavior of what we do as far as with women is ever going to change.
Why do you think that is?
It's just something that's baked in. Like, it's just in the ingredients. It's unfortunate. Things that, I don't know, you know, I don't know what I am as far as like a feminist or whatever, but, you know, I love women and I respect them and care for them. And some of them are downright delicious, but I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't think men are ever going to really, 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 really change. I think we'll evolve, but some things will still be in there, you know? It'll just be in there. It's like Coke. It's like Coca-Cola. You know, when they change the taste, motherfuckers get mad as hell.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, how do you work towards, you know, moving away from that and having a son? How does that interplay what you teach him about, like, love and relationships? And
A while back, he was talking to me about the Chronic album, you know, this boy is talking about the Chronic album. And I was like, well, who, you know what I mean? It was like, who told you about the Chronic album? You know, but he's a kid, he's into music. And I guess he heard it somewhere and we were in the yard talking about it. And it was at one of those come to Jesus moments, you know, cause I was like, dude, you know, do you think that your mom is we had a real deep conversation about the value of women and the value of yourself. So it's harder now because you look back and you're like, God damn. And you try to tell your son, you know, sons are different than daughters, but I have tried to instill into my son that he does not have to be, you don't gotta be a player. You don't have to have a whole lot of women. You know, take your time and don't, you know, I was honest with him, you know, all the time about the fact that, yeah, I was, you know, cute and ran around, but it didn't make me feel good. And it certainly didn't make the people I was with feel any better. So, yeah, I literally asked him, I said, about the, when you asked me about my son, I said, we were talking about the Chronic album. And I was, you know, like, would you want somebody to call your mother that? Would you want your mother to be treated like that? Would you, how would you feel if you did that to a woman with your friends? You know, how do you value women? I was like, God damn, I'd have fucked around and got old. You know what I mean? I'd get old. I'd have fucked around, got old and dead at the same time. So yeah. And I just try to impart on him the fact that, you know, value yourself and value women in the same vein, because that has to break somewhere.
Right. Well, hopefully my son won't mind me telling the story, but when he was in high school, I believe he was a junior, he got in trouble for, he was with a friend of his and he smacked her on the ass, right? Well, she got upset about it. And he had thought that they were in a space where it would be mutually acceptable, and it wasn't. And so he got in trouble for sexual harassment. And the school called me in and we had a discussion, and, you know, they worked out he was going to do some kind of, I don't know, like lunchtime detention thing, something along those lines. And I was like, well, I just don't think that that's good enough. I think that he needs to create something that he can teach to other people, because if I want him to learn to never do this again, he's got to really learn like not to do this again. And the school was kind of like, okay, you know, but I took a pretty hardline approach about it. And I was like, I think he should have to, you know, talk to his fellow students about, you know, why he made that choice, why it wasn't okay. And he was remorseful, and, you know, it wasn't like it was something where he joked about it or anything like that. But it was really funny to me that I was more willing to have him go through that than the school was, in terms of boundaries and setting standards. And my son's actually a really lovely human being. He's 20 now, and just, I feel that whatever lovely lady ends up in his life is going to be very fortunate. But I had to work hard for whoever that woman is. You can thank me later. But, you know, I look at that and I have no regrets about sometimes coming down a little bit hard about certain things like that, because it really is a tough world to discern some of that. And then that muddles those situations even further, you know, because you do have men still being educated in, you know, images and social media and film and television about a certain kind of way of being a man. I think it's slowly changing. I think there's alternative versions that are presented, sometimes not mainstream though. And so there's movement there, but in the meantime, you know, someone has to pick up the slack and make sure that it sticks and be that person, because you don't want to be the person who has the child that is the one giving off red flags, right? I don't.
No. And that, yeah, that's the thing. My dad instilled some pretty good values in me. And I kind of sometimes along the way, depending on how round the ass was and how pouty the lips, I kind of I violated my own code a few times, you know, and have come home to a pile of burning sweaters and shit. Yeah, so yeah, so as far as like red, oh man, I've had so many moments where I should have, and everybody has, where they say, oh man, I should have, nah, I should just backed away from that. I fall for like cute to pretty crazy. You know what I mean? Like cute slash pretty. If she's cute slash pretty, I have made some negotiations with myself that I probably, you know, yeah, because I have a type. And that type sometimes turns out to be, you know, I'm not gonna say, I'm crazy. crazy or unstable or needs help. So yeah, bipolar, yeah, all of that, unfortunately.
So we had a letter from a viewer who wrote to us, Atreyu Wolf, asking about women with too many red flags. I love to feel the excitement of connecting with someone new and all its butterflies and giggles, but then I ignore obvious things like they're an alcoholic or our lifestyles and life goals just straight up don't match. How can I change my self-destructive behavioral relationship ways?
Oh, big up to Atreyu for being our first letter. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you, and please keep supporting our show. I would say, and this is just true, I would say take a step back when you start. Don't rush into anything. Do a lot of listening. Take some notes. Really get to know her. And maybe, you know, ask other people about her. If you know other people that, if you share an acquaintance, or check out her, you know, her profile or whatever, but take some steps back. That's what I'm like, again, I'm not an expert, but if you feel apprehensive about something from the beginning, this is a true story. A pimp that I knew growing up. He's a real, like a real pimp. I'm not going to say his name, but I'm from Flint. You know, there's some stories, but a real pimp told me this. He said, how you start with a bitch is how you finish with a bitch. Now, I'm not calling women bitches. I'm just saying that's what he said. If it starts off crazy, and that, yeah, it's poetic, isn't it? If it starts off crazy, it's going to end crazy. The things that you see that are a little bit crazy are going to get big crazy. If he or she wants to have small fights, once you're hooked in, those fights are going to get bigger. If there's a little bit of toxic in it, by the time you get to another point down the road, 6 months into a year, it's, you know, you're in a nuclear waste dump. And you don't realize how you got there. It was one of those things where you slow roll into another person's unstableness that you just started accepting along the way, or you think that you can change it. So I would say, this is just me, I would say walk. If you feel like something is not going to be right, take a step back or just walk away. Literally walk away. No one's making you stay, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend is so easy to break up. You know, there's not really anything in the middle there. What, you want to take my CDs back or like my Blu-rays or whatever the fuck? So if you feel any kind of apprehension, you 9 out of 10, you're probably right. You know, hindsight is 20/20. But getting your car keyed is going to fuck with your insurance.
Yeah.
So that's all I got to say.
I would say examining, like doing some self-examination of habit. You know, if for instance, you find out somebody has substance abuse issues, maybe you shouldn't meet people in bars. You know, maybe changing like the venue or the way that you are introduced to people. And I think it's really important. And I think I come off a little, probably almost crazy, but intense about this stuff when I'm dating people, is that I will ask very direct questions, which may seem like it's a little too much, but it's just me not wanting to waste time. Like I'll straight up ask someone like, you know, what do you expect to have out of your life in 5 years? You know, what kind of financial picture do you see for yourself? Like stuff that you would typically wait out of like, I'm just not polite. I don't fucking care at this age anymore. Honestly, I don't have time. And so really parceling out if that person's goals would fit into my life and vice versa, and if it would look like it's going to be something that's mutually supportive. I think it's really important to just not dick around, like really ask the hard questions and, you know, make sure that you know where that person's coming from. Make sure that you know that their family's not crazy, because like, that's a whole other thing. Like that person could be okay, but if their family's crazy and you got to deal with that, you got to weigh like, do I really want to go there? You know, like you mentioned, having kids, make sure that you know what kind of parent they are and what that other co-parent looks like, and, you know, and ask all those things, and make sure that you are getting the answers that you feel are important. And just remembering that like the butterflies and giggles, that stuff just eventually goes away, you know, and then you get into, again, that business of love and having to do the everyday work of maintaining it. And so just understanding that some of these exciting neural impulses that we have with dopamine and oxytocin and all these little hormones that go raging are just a way for us to find someone we could potentially connect with, but it doesn't mean that you have to stay connected to them. And I think that's where we get a lot of like love and lust confused. It's okay to lust and just enjoy that and, you know, ride that out, but it doesn't mean you have to marry it and put a ring on it and all that happiness.
Yeah, but you may have to call the cops on it. you may have to, you know, 9-1 and just be on that one, just waiting to hit that one on that shit. But, you know, just, I don't know. As far as what like Atreya's asking, I'm going back to that screening process, man. Go back to that screening process. And you're right. Ask some hard questions. And I think I don't even think it's a matter of age. It's just things that you want to know. You know, things can go from casual to cohabitation real quick sometimes. You'd be surprised. So you might not find out something about somebody, like how they cut their toenails. That's a personal thing with me, you know, like little things that'll drive you crazy. So take your time. Don't rush into it. See what you need to see. Forest in the trees, all that stuff before you really, really dive in. Like that pool's been there for a long time.
It's, you know, not what I'm going saying?
So
anywhere.
It's not going anywhere. So, but make sure there's water in it when you jump into it, not a bunch of crazy.
I mean, in just perspective, I think we forget, because we live in our own little microcosms of people and places, but there are literally billions of people in the world. Billions.
7.5.
So, you know, if that one's not going to work, something else will probably pop up that will serve you better. And it doesn't have to be a do or die type situation by any stretch.
I got on one of those dating sites.
Which one?
It's noneofyourbusiness.com. I'm not saying it out loud. It was just one of those things. I was talking to a friend of mine and she was like, you know, just go on one and see, you know, just see what, just check it out. And I'm like, well, I don't think I'm ready for any of that stuff or, you know, whatever. And I got on one and I got a bunch of hits. So I was like, I'm not responding to any of them. I'm really not, because I don't like to meet people that way. That's new to me. I'm used to, you know, not sitting in a bar. I'm used to socializing and meeting women that way. So like this new thing where you got to use your finger, that's not just the way I want to use it. Like I'm just, you know what I mean? I'm different. I'm old school. So I want to go out and get it. So I think I got like, I don't know. I registered like last night, like late last night before I went to bed. And I think I have like 10 hits.
That's pretty good.
So, yeah. And, you know, too bad I'm not talking. I'm just not doing it. I'm leery of it. I look at internet dating like, you know, Nigerian princes.
We'll have to do a whole show on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll let you know how it goes. I'll let you know if I, I'll tell you which one it is later. I'm not going to share it with, because it's my first time doing one of these things. And I didn't realize how fast you post one picture. You don't realize how fast those dings come back. So I was getting dings and like.
Did you ever think you'd ever be a virgin at anything ever again?
You know what? I'm excited about it. That's the thing. I'm excited, but I'm not ready.
That's all right.
You know, but I will. You know me. I'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
You'll be the first to know.
So, what kind of final imparting advice do you have for anyone when it comes to red flags?
Run. Or walk away slowly, you know, walk away slowly, throw down some ninja smoke, do whatever you have to do early to get out of it or not get into it. And don't think that you could change the person. Don't try to have sex with the person. Don't try to conquest that shit, because that can backfire. Don't think that it's not going to happen to you. When the crazy comes down, I'm gonna tell everybody, get therapy. Just get therapy. I'm gonna stop there and I'm gonna go on. If you feel like it's like how they say, like, if you see something, say something. So it's
Well, it's true, because sometimes other people ignore that stuff and then they let you be the one to like figure it out on your own. So I my parting words of wisdom would be like, get references, ask to meet a friend, someone who knows them, so you can kind of see them outside of whatever universe you've created within your own little space. And so you can see how that person acts in different circumstances, because often, you know, that's very telling as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to put my next relationship in my mama name, I think. I don't want this on my record. Right.
Well, thanks for joining us today. Thanks, Ernest.
Yeah. No, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And we look forward to having you listen to us for the next one. And please remember that if you find yourself in darkness, we always hope it's in the shadow of love.